talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Don't you love the anticipation? The moment before the curtain goes up, wondering if the show will live up to all the hype and expectation.
I'm rooting for underwhelming.
Ah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
This guy is doing great work.
I have to have snacks Monday through Friday. I have to have snacks for school, snacks for after school, snacks for TV watching, snacks for just when I feel like snacking. I have to have my snacks.
Put them in my belly.
So I was just laying there, taking it all in.
I've tried to swallow it.
I'm super excited for that.
Lady Boner Ravine.
Oh, that is tough to listen to.
And now.
This better be good. I left a cold protein shake on my desk.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning, the 14th of May.
Mm. Brand new what?
Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay.
Did I say that wrong?
Kevin Bean Show.
Oh.
Is it Kevin Bean Show?
Yeah, close enough.
Okay. All right. What's up, Snap Peas? How are you?
I mean.
Bad nugget, Snap Peas.
Yeah. This is your new thing. Right?
But all year, is it?
We'll see.
Okay.
See? Right. Look, got to get those catchphrases going.
You sure.
You never know what's going to catch.
That's what we're all about.
Right. Catchphrases. How is everybody?
We are good. How are you?
Allie, I hear you got a ton of sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Feeling good?
I woke up at around 2 and then just stayed awake, did a little laundry, cleaned out a closet. So things are going good. Feeling real good.
Excellent.
Uh-huh.
What is the answer in a situation like that? Does anyone, I mean, this would be a $1 million idea if somebody could solve it. How can you go back to sleep when you wake up in the middle of the night and you just can't turn your brain off? What's the answer?
Yeah, usually I can, but for some reason, I don't know if 2 felt too close to the time I usually wake up, so I'm like, might as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't like it. I almost reached for my DayQuil because I've been having allergies. Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't.
And obviously you can't use anything heavy duty because you have to get up in a couple of hours anyway.
Right.
So
right.
You just need to figure out a way to get that last hour.
Yeah. It wasn't coming.
I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good.
Tough one.
It's a tough one indeed. Well, speaking of tough, being here, you guys know me.
What?
I've been thinking a lot about this lately because I'm going to be looking for another job here soon. Mm-hmm. And I think we all can agree that there is ageism in the hiring process in many industries.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not the least of which is entertainment.
Right.
In entertainment, I mean, if you're a day over 25, 23 if you're a woman, you're not going to get a job unless you're extraordinarily lucky or really have something super, super special going on.
Correct.
Right? So I'm a guy who's walking into a situation and at an age where many people are considering retirement, and I am nowhere near interested in retiring. And my argument would be, look, I'm not a professional athlete, okay? My job is not physical. Mm-hmm. I am, I believe, performing at the top of my game.
Right.
You wouldn't know it from, you know, this show lately, but
sure.
I'm saying I have more experience and am better at doing my job now than I would have been had you hired me 5 years ago or 20 years ago.
What are we doing? Okay. What are we doing here?
Right. It's a perfect example, right? That guy right there, he knows, right? So I'm thinking a lot about this and how to break that barrier through, how to get people to look at me and go, yeah, I know we could hire someone with far less experience, but maybe this time we go with the older guy because he knows what he's doing. And I say all that to say this.
I was going to say, why are you complaining to us? We can't hire you.
I'm not complaining.
Okay.
I'm not complaining. I'm just bringing it up.
All right.
I think this is probably something a lot of people, especially people, you know, who want to make a career change, mm-hmm. like the man I'm about to tell you about, they got to go, hey, why not hire me? This is a fascinating story to me. He is named Sean Donovan. He lives in California. He is an active duty special operations chief for the Navy SEALs.
Wow.
His goal when he retires...
Same with you, right?
Very similar.
So far, same resume. His goal when he retires from the Navy next year, And what he's been dreaming of is moving back to New York City, where he grew up, and becoming a New York City firefighter.
Okay.
That's what he wants to do.
Right.
So he has been laying the groundwork for that. Hey, Jensen, are you there?
I'm here.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
He's been laying the groundwork for that.
Well,
he hadn't said a word.
Right.
I just want to make sure he was with us. Okay.
I'm intrigued by where
really?
You're going.
I thought it was boredom and you died.
I wonder how high this soapbox is over here that he's on.
So he's
just a reminder, we end at 10 a.m.
Right, gotcha.
All right.
He's laying the groundwork to get this job in the fire department. So he has taken the test and he scored in the top 1% of applicants for the New York City Fire Department. Top 1%.
Right.
Written, physical, everything. This guy is as well qualified to be a firefighter as anyone who's ever lived, except that he's 37 years old. And the cutoff is 35.
Really? Now, for a firefighter? Really?
In New York City,
wow.
Yes. Now, they knew when they let him take the test and take the physical and do all the mental and everything like that, they knew that he was born in 1981, but they still let him take the test and everything. And like I said, he scored off the charts, top 1%. And now they're saying, no exceptions for anyone. We can't hire you because you're 37. Now, I'm going to say that a guy who has served 4 combat tours and is a special operations chief for the Navy SEALs is probably going to make a pretty good firefighter.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
I would think that him at 37 is going to be better than most men or women that are walking through the door at 25. Wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and of course, yeah.
Can I ask you, is it just that you're grandfathered in? That's why so many chiefs are like in their 50s and stuff like that?
Well, I don't think they get hired in their 50s.
No,
so you're saying
so
new hires.
New hires yeah. have to be under 37.
Under 35.
35.
And they
wow.
Yeah, and then they let you just kind of become a long-term firefighter after
that. I
had
no idea.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh.
So
it's ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is true, Bina. I see what you've done here at K-Rock to be extremely similar to what they do at firefighting.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Navy SEALs, right.
Navy SEALs.
He's got it all.
Somebody connected the dots. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like this is the guy you want to hire. And I also think that, who knows, the fire department in New York has been around for probably 200 years. When this was enacted, when they came up with this policy, if you were 37, you're probably going to die at 55, right?
Yeah, with different times.
People at 37 now are going to live to be 80 for the most part, right? I mean, they got
right.
a lot of life left in them. Well, anyway, there is I don't know if this is going to be satisfying to Mr. Donovan, but as a result of this story going viral, multiple fire departments have said, over here, we'll take you. We'd be delighted to have you. He's already been contacted by the Denver Fire Department. They have a minimum age of 21, but no age cap. You can apply any time, however old you are, as long as you can do the job, essentially. Which, by the way, I think is the very definition of ageism. If you can do the job, you ought to be able to hire despite your age.
So the job hunt's going well, Bean?
I don't know yet. San Francisco fire department says you have to be at least 20, no age cap. So they are welcoming him if he would like to go there.
You should be a firefighter. Yeah.
But his dream, you guys are missing the point here. His
but imagine Bean is a firefighter with the helmet,
the hose, running with the hose.
Oh, running with the hose would be so great.
He'd get like 2 feet and he's like, this is heavy.
Save the animals first.
Anyway, his dream is to be a New York City fire department. We'll see if they make an exception. So far, they have said no, but we wish the best for Mr. Donovan. I hope he gets a job, and then I hope I get one right after him.
All right.
You kind of wish you got one first, though, right?
No, I'm going to – I'll step aside for Sean. He's a goddamn American
hero.
Wow.
Nice.
Get the drummer sound.
Such a liar.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Kevin, I need you to tell this story better.
She says after every story I tell. What's up with Florida on the program today?
It's a great question.
Mm. Who is interested in – why should we be interested in Avatar?
Yeah, what are we missing?
I have no interest level in
that. I have an open mind today. I want to hear why. Mm-hmm.
Because maybe there are things I forgot about it.
Kevin, you say that, but I guarantee if Avatar was opening this weekend, you would go see it. I guarantee it. You do not miss event movies.
That's very possible. But when we're talking about is five more
Yeah. Right.
So when you look at all that, you go, honestly, like, I can't imagine going to five more Avatar movies.
It's a lot.
Well, in the last one, we found out that Luke Skywalker died, right? So now we got to figure out what this Rise of the Skywalker is all about. That's, I mean, we're invested in Star Wars.
That's a different.
Oh, I did get confused. I'm sorry.
You were on lockdown. We're going to talk to you today. Based on last Friday night when there was a police investigation going on and no one could come in and no one could go out. But it was a casino. If you're going to be on lockdown, best place.
Yeah, not absolutely. A bad place.
Best place.
And, I want to be on lockdown in my home. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping they just put police tape around my house and say you can never leave.
And Bean almost died. Oh. So we got that going for us. We will take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Much like Tyrion on Game of Thrones, our own Ally McKay drinks and she knows things. And now she's here to share some of those things with us. It's time for What's Happening.
Is he also the little person?
Yes, Peter Dinklage's character.
Sweet.
That's correct.
We don't see height.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
No. He's just a human being.
Apologize.
Yeah.
I just meant in reference to the other characters. Is he
Oh, sure.
Smaller.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what you meant.
A little smaller than them. Guys, this Snapchat filter that can make you look like the opposite gender.
Yeah.
Do we all have to do it and see how ugly or hot we are?
I've seen a lot of my friends look pretty good.
Right?
Yeah.
I've seen girlfriends of mine that I'm like, woo, you as a dude, I would for sure. And you're saying the same about guy friends?
Yeah.
That look like beautiful ladies.
They look like beautiful, yeah, women.
Well, there's a guy in the UK that decided to make a fake Tinder account for himself with all the pictures he took with the filter to make him look like a lady. Her name is Jess. He made a fake profile. He was surprised to see the number of likes and the hundreds of matches that he made. What also shocked him were the dude sending really creepy messages.
Mm.
So welcome. Welcome to our world,
Great.
Sir. Congratulations.
I couldn't believe, and again, because I don't experience being a woman on the internet, Allie, I couldn't believe how many guys immediately started asking for naked pictures.
Absolutely.
Immediately.
Yeah, if it's not asking for naked pictures, it's immediately sending you one of them naked, which is nice.
That's what a lady wants.
Absolutely. Mentions of the pork sword were sent to him.
All right.
That's a Game of Thrones spoiler. That's not, has nothing to do with
it. Okay. Yeah. Also, are you a beaver? Because damn. I mean, I don't hate that. Yeah. That was a good try right there,
sir. You don't stop
genius. You don't. You really don't. I feel like we all need to take a picture or a little video with the filter and see if people can figure out who's who. Because some of my friends look nothing like them. Hmm. I'm like, why are you all of a sudden a Latino guy? It's very strange. I did it, and I will tell you, I have a thick neck, and I am the broiest of bros.
All right.
Really?
Like, I could be like an affliction model if they had those.
I must see.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I feel like we all need to do this.
I agree.
Yeah, I've always wanted to know what you'd look like if you competed in MMA.
Yeah, it's totally what it is.
Oh, good.
Oh, it's good, you guys. It's real good. All right, well, we will check out that Snapchat on filter and hopefully post our stuff in just a bit, you guys. I know you all were waiting with bated breath. Fox executives announced yesterday that Empire will end its run after its sixth season.
What's going on?
And they added that producers have no plans to bring back Jussie Smollett, at least for now.
The canceled.
Fox Entertainment CEO Charlie Collier said, you know, we're going to go out guns a-blazing. One of the great benefits of announcing the final season is that it actually allows fans to lean in and have the ending they deserve. 6 years is a remarkable run. Plus, we want to get out before anyone else fakes a hate crime.
Well, they said that?
Said that on there?
No, I'm sorry. I was reading between the lines.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Do you think they will, or have they already written in why that character disappears?
I don't know.
You'd have to.
You'd have. So, yeah, you couldn't just erase him entirely with no say, right?
Just pretend he wasn't there.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think he'll show up in the finale.
You do?
Yeah. Mm. In the series finale, I think so. By that
they'll
point.
Say, where you been? Yeah. It's been a year and a half.
I've been faking a hate crime.
No reference to him at all until the finale.
Yeah.
That's
it's
funny.
Like, hey, Jamal.
He just walks out of the bathroom and flushes.
Yep. Hey, what's everybody doing?
My stomach is killing me.
That would kind of be amazing. And I might watch Empire for that. No, definitely
didn't
not.
We all love that show so much when
yeah.
it started?
Oh, my gosh. First couple seasons.
Season one for
season
me.
Season one was great.
I was
season
two, so I was in.
Sort of out on season two.
Loved Cookie. Mm-hmm. And then
same.
Season three, I was like, and good night. Didn't watch it again.
It did not hold.
No. Real good run, though, for a minute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Real good run. You guys, who do you want to talk about now?
Well, I mean...
Is that my job?
It's sort of your,
okay.
your thing there.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about Felicity Huffman? She broke down in court yesterday while pleading guilty to rigging her eldest daughter's SAT score as part of the massive college admission scam. The former the former Desperate Housewives star, who now faces a recommended 4 months in prison under her deal with prosecutors, began crying while discussing the evidence against her with the Boston federal judge. And then later in the proceeding, Huffman officially pled guilty to conspiracy to commit mail fraud and honest services mail fraud, which carries a maximum 20-year sentence. Prosecutors will recommend 4 months in prison at Huffman's scheduled September 21st sentencing, along with 1 year of supervised release and a $20,000 fine, all of which Huffman agreed to in the plea deal she signed last
Isn't
month.
Isn't she the one that was saying she was going to be not guilty?
Oh, no.
No, that's
Felicity
that was some yeah. Lori Loughlin.
Lori Loughlin.
Yeah, Felicity
okay.
Huffman is the one that right
she,
away...
Yeah, she's done it right the whole
time. She buckled, yes. yeah.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I believe the other one is... Aunt Becky is
yeah.
is going to go to trial.
She's saying not
she's
guilty.
Looking
yeah.
for.
Yeah. I don't know how she. I don't know how she's possibly going to present a defense.
Her defense is already set.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to say that she believed she was doing something that might be against morals, but didn't
right.
know she was doing something against the law, and that
right.
it was the guy who took the money who decided to make those decisions.
Right, but ignorance of the law, as we have famously heard, is no excuse.
But
you don't
you're
have
missing,
to know it's illegal.
Yeah, right. you're missing a huge part, though. Very wealthy.
Yeah, white privilege.
So you've got, well, you've not only white privilege, you've got her, you got Robert Kraft, you've got Jussie Smollett.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of rich people get out of a lot of stuff.
Well, true.
That
Just
is true.
Just saying.
I heard a one legal expert yesterday mm-hmm. saying that Felicity Huffman is making it look so much worse for all the other people who haven't already pled guilty
yes.
or are pleading not guilty, because she is exactly what federal prosecutors want, and she may not even get any jail time.
Yeah, they might use her as an example and say,
right.
listen, she did everything correct from the get-go. Do that next time.
I think they had a meeting where they all got together and said, all right, what are we going to do? We need to stand together.
Huddle up.
I don't think they knew each other.
No.
Yeah, I think Felicity Huffman handled it brilliantly, and she's going to be the first one that we forget about this.
Yeah, I think so too.
As a result of it, because it all happened so fast.
Yeah,
you might be right. Hey, some birthdays today. Some heavy duty directors: George Lucas, Robert Zemeckis, Sofia Coppola. All right,
wow,
not bad.
Wow,
Kate Blanchett, David Byrne, Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, this is a big day.
Yeah, it's a real big day. Amber Tamblyn, Martin Garrix, DJ, and brand new to the Rams, Clay Matthews.
How right? about that?
Right.
Yep.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:37.
I enjoyed the end of that. I don't know about
Same.
You guys. I enjoyed hearing it right out to the end.
Yeah, really
I needed to
let
hear
it play out.
I like hearing it because I think there's always like an after credit scene in those Avengers movies.
I felt like maybe I came in too soon.
I was waiting on the bloopers.
Hey, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk Avatar 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Also, what's up with Florida? And I'm going to tell you the story about how I almost died on vacation. It involved a massive amount of fire. It involved a 911 call. And I think Mrs. Baxter may join us for that, too.
Oh, rest in peace, Bean.
Yeah. I survived.
No, rest in peace, Bean.
Okay, all right. So all of that coming up between 7 and 8. It's a good hour. You don't want to miss it here on K-Rock.
All right. There was a trending Twitter over the weekend. Was it? Yes?
Yeah. What you did was you would list six bands or artists that you've seen at a concert, and one of them was a lie. So we decided to do it. We shortened it to five because our attention span is not quite
who
what it used to be. Right?
And we're very busy people.
We're very busy. So we each listed five either bands or artists that we saw, and one of those is a big, fat, lying liar who lies. And we have to determine which one's the lie.
Is the point of this, because I saw that it was happening over the weekend and really could find no interest
right,
in it
right.
at all. Is the point of this so that the people that you are friends with, they kind of have to determine how well they know you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would think so, yeah.
And then you get in the conversation like, oh, you saw that person? I had no idea you'd be interested in that person.
All right, so why don't you go first then, and then I guess what we'll be thinking is that the type of act that Ali would have gone to see at some point?
Right,
okay.
Right.
What we know about you, got it.
Okay, I will list my five. George Strait, Soft Cell, Neil Diamond, Radiohead, Pantera.
Wow, I hope they were all the same show.
It's a great festival.
It is a great festival. Give it up for Pantera. Now here's George Strait. Okay, I guarantee you saw Neil Diamond. There's no question
that,
about that.
But, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay, I'm with you.
Okay.
Absolutely, you saw Neil Diamond.
All right.
Did she see George Strait?
Yes, she went with a friend who loved country.
Okay.
I think she saw George Strait. I know that she would love to see Soft Cell. Did she ever get the opportunity to see Soft Cell?
Ooh,
see, this
good question.
This is the thing. I know that that's a show you would dig.
Wow, for a guy who hated this on Twitter,
right?
Seems
right?
like he's having a blast.
He's all in.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say Soft Cell is the one you didn't see. That's going to be my guess. Because I think you, I feel like you could have seen Pantera. And who was your fifth?
Radiohead.
Radiohead. I feel like you probably saw. I'm going to say that's Soft Cell is the one.
I'm going to say.
What do you guys think?
I'm going to say that she did not see Radiohead.
Okay. Interesting,
Kevin.
It's a big commitment.
Didn't see Radiohead. I think I'm going Radiohead as
Are
well.
You?
Yeah.
Well, you both would be correct because God damn, that band bores me.
That's what I thought. I said real commitment for her.
It really would be.
So when did you see Soft Cell?
They did a reunion in like the early 2000s, like 2003.
Nice.
It was at the Wiltern.
Maybe. Nice.
Yeah. And good time.
So when you see people just being euphoric over Radiohead shows, you don't get it at all.
Not even a little bit.
Because for some people, that music is just hypnotic.
Yeah, it puts me right to sleep. So maybe it is doing
There's
the job.
There's two different kinds of Radiohead. Their early days, were doing songs and it
fun.
Was very different.
Very different. And my my babysitter took me to see Pantera.
Yes. All right, who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Okay.
All right.
All right, ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Notorious Big, Christopher Cross, Paula Abdul, Run DMC, Katy Perry.
Hmm.
Wow. Wow. This is hard. I'm going to say, Christopher Cross, luck out, first of all. By the way, that's not Crisscross, kids. Christopher Cross is the sailing ride like the wind guy.
That's why it's a terrible choice.
I'm going to say you didn't. I was going to say Katy Perry, but now I'm changing my mind. I think you saw Run DMC because how could you not? Christopher Cross, I think you wouldn't have put it in there unless it's somebody you saw. Who else do you have?
Notorious Big, Paula Abdul, Katy Perry, Run DMC, Christopher Cross.
Wow. What are you thinking, Kevin?
It's sort of like who did he not have the opportunity to see?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to go Notorious B.I.G.
I'm going to say Paula Abdul.
Wow.
How about you, Miss McKay?
I think I'm going to go Run DMC.
I have never seen Run DMC. Yep.
Nice.
Wow.
Because Jam Master Jay.
I thought maybe
no longer
passed
there.
Before you got the opportunity to
just
see them together.
Him. Not a big West Coast tour guy.
Interesting.
Isn't it so funny that you're the hip hop head? I've seen Run DMC twice.
That is crazy.
I saw him open for the Beastie Boys on the License to Ill tour.
What a waste.
And it was great.
That's what I meant.
And what do you mean, what a waste?
I'm saying you going to Run DMC.
And the Beastie Boys. It was a great show. Yeah. And then I saw them on the follow-up Raising Hell tour after that, too, because they were so amazing. So,
such a bum out.
Right, that's really
that was tricky, but we got it.
Next,
I heard you, Allie.
Thank
I got
you.
It.
Thank you.
It's possible that I forgot.
Oh, yeah. That's
so I was writing down bands, and I was like, I don't think so. But I left out the Rage Against the Machine, the Muse, the Foo Fighters, all that stuff, because you guys all know.
We know that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I tried to pick ones that maybe you would be surprised by.
Okay.
One is Kid Rock.
Okay.
Two is Frank Sinatra.
Ooh.
Oh.
Three.
That's a wild card.
Is Michael Jackson.
Ooh.
Wow.
Four is Run DMC.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And five is Aerosmith.
That's a great list. I'm going to say your wife probably made you go see Frank Sinatra the same way she made you go see Barbara Streisand. So I'm going to say you saw Old Blue Eyes. I'm going to say I know you saw Kid Rock because I was with you at Woodstock 99.
Oh, I've seen him twice then.
Okay. All right. Does Michael Jackson, does it count when you saw him at the halftime of the Super Bowl?
I don't think so. I think
you gotta see a full set.
I think so.
You gotta see a full set.
I think that's what we're going for.
And who else do you have?
Run
DMC and Aerosmith.
And Aerosmith.
I'm gonna say you never saw Aerosmith.
Allie?
I'm agreeing with Aerosmith.
And I'm gonna go say he didn't see Michael Jackson.
And I'm gonna say I saw Michael Jackson.
Oh.
And I didn't see Aerosmith.
Yes!
Look at that!
Allie, killing
pretty good guessing.
Killing it, right?
Okay. All right, and I'm last, and I know we're running out of time, so I'll try to make it fast. And I left out, just like Kevin did, I left out the Taylors and the Carly Rays and all the people you would know.
Very different list of bands you left out.
All right, here are my five. Which one is the lie? James Brown, Madonna, Led Zeppelin, Pearl Jam, Eminem. Again, James Brown, Madonna, Led Zeppelin, Pearl Jam, Eminem.
I feel like this is more of who did he not have the opportunity to see?
I heard him.
And I'm thinking James Brown.
See, I believe I thought I heard him say he's seen James Brown before.
It's very possible, but I don't. Hmm.
That's why I'm going left field. I'm saying he's never seen Pearl Jam.
That's impossible.
I think that's what he's going for.
Inconceivable.
The surprise.
It really is.
Even in Seattle, the surprise.
I think I'm going to go Madonna.
Okay. Carex, Kevin, your guess.
I mean, I already picked. When I was talking to Jensen, which one was it? It was
Oh, James I said Brown? Pearl Jam. Oh, you say James Brown?
James Brown.
Okay. You said James Brown.
James Brown.
I did see James
you
Brown
did.
In Washington, D.C. at the convention center in the 80s. Right. I've seen Madonna twice on headlining tours.
Right.
I saw Led Zeppelin at Live Aid.
Luck out.
When Bean Eminem, almost got in a fight.
That was Amnesty International.
Sorry.
Eminem I saw with Kevin at in New York City.
Along,
I'll take it.
Along with Jay-Z. Remember how we went
can
to see
you,
that?
Yes. How can you not have seen Pearl Jam?
Pearl Jam is the band
how?
That I have never seen.
That seems crazy.
We've sponsored, we've had them on shows.
Yes.
How is that possible?
Just have not ever seen Pearl Jam. I guess I should put that on my bucket list. I guess that's one I should see.
I mean, I feel like Bean, just like myself, probably saw and forgot.
Oh, wait, we did a breakfast.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
What?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
Look,
words are hard.
Words are hard. Mm-hmm. That's true. Hey, what's up with Florida?
Florida's our most penis-shaped state.
That is true. And we'll get into that coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie's got what's happening here on a Tuesday.
Guys, Daniel Craig likes to do a lot of his own stunts. He had two teeth knocked out during a stunt for Casino Royale. Also suffered various injuries during the filming of Quantum of Solace and Spectre. And now, they're suspending production temporarily for Bond 25. He suffered an ankle injury. Apparently, he was sprinting during a scene in Jamaica. in a lot of pain, complaining about his ankle, and they have reportedly flown him here to the U.S. to see a specialist.
Get his weak stuff out of here.
I don't think we're saying weak stuff. I'm just saying maybe accident prone, maybe you don't need to be doing all your own stunts.
Do you think
is weak?
You think the director and everybody's like, please, this time, this stunt.
Really?
Let's bring in a stunt guy.
Absolutely. Then again, he's just sprinting. You wouldn't think anything would happen, but who knows? Unclear how long Daniel Craig might be sidelined, but the paper says that a shoot in London scheduled for this weekend has already been canceled.
Yikes. Canceled.
I don't love it, you guys.
Doesn't seem ideal.
I mean, especially you, James Bond fan number one.
Right?
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You're on San Diego every day trying to buy tickets to that.
Especially, yeah, it was slated to be released October 2019, then pushed back to April 8th, 2020, after Danny Boyle left the project. I mean, when will it come out, you guys? Right. I'm sick of circling it in a heart on my calendar.
Sure.
And then having to get a new calendar because I used non-erasable pen. Like, it's just, it's a whole ordeal.
I mean, this is the third Bond movie you're going to see. This is an important one. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. It's going to be rather big, you guys. Remember Kate Gosselin?
Sure.
Kate and eight?
John and Kate plus eight.
She had like the perfect I want to speak to the manager haircut.
Yes.
She had the first one ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a show that followed her and her ex-husband, John, raising their eight children. And then following their split, she had a TV show that was renamed Kate Plus Eight. Well, are you ready for 44-year-old Kate Gosselin getting back into the dating game,
plus
you guys?
Plus 16. Oh, no more kids?
Nope. Okay. Nearly a decade after her divorce, Kate Gosselin is ready to find love. And her search is being chronicled by cameras as part of her new TLC series, Kate
Plus Date.
Plus Date.
Plus Date.
Plus Date.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
The six-part series is going to follow her. She goes on 10 dates set up by experts, with each outing involving both a active and intimate activity. And that disturbed me until I realized, oh, they mean like one act, like rock climbing, and then something more intimate, like crafting or pottery.
Not like making another baby.
That's what I thought. I was like, what intimate activity? Like, ugh. I didn't love it. But yeah, so if you want to date a woman with 14-year-old sextuplets and two other children heading to college, Kate Gosselin is your gal.
Hard no.
Hard no? Okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and
pass
on that.
Okay. All right, you guys aren't in.
You know, it's curious to me that the Octomom, by all accounts, ended up being okay for those kids, and those kids are all doing great.
How do we know that?
I saw an update on them recently.
Really?
Where they talked about how well adjusted and how happy and smart those kids seem to be. Because remember what a disaster everybody thought she was?
Yeah, of course.
Eight of them she was raising as a single mom.
Oh,
I'm doubting your story right now.
That's what you mean by
I'm doubting your update.
Says the girl that is awful at math, really. Maybe I shouldn't have known that. Well, I'm glad that you saw that update, because I just hadn't heard of her in a long time, which I guess is also a good thing,
news,
right?
Yeah. My Google alert clearly didn't work.
No?
And I'll tell you who else is apparently doing great, and this is a surprise to everybody while we're talking about
Casey
Anthony?
You know,
weird kids. Not so great, no.
Okay.
Is Anna Nicole Smith's daughter is apparently well-adjusted. Remember the big battle over
that possible?
Her sperm donor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and who ended up suing to get custody of the kid away from Anna Nicole's parents or something?
Larry Berkman.
No, that's her actual dad.
Yeah, sperm donor, though. I mean, they didn't have a relationship, is what
No,
I'm
they
saying.
were together.
It's Berkman, right?
Yeah, it's the father. She's been with him the whole time.
And he ended up having to sue, though, to get the kid, remember?
No.
You're thinking of something completely different, I'm sure.
I'm thinking of the dad that always poses with her at the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, that's the only time we ever see her.
Yes.
But apparently she's doing great, which is a surprise and also good news.
With her father, who was also the sperm donor, because it was his sperm.
All right, we can agree to disagree.
Okay. What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Oh, that's a different story.
Another good question, though.
That's a different story. Right.
Some birthdays for you guys. David Byrne, Kate Blanchett, directors George Lucas, Sofia Coppola, Robert Zemeckis, actress Amber Tamblyn, co-founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, DJ Martin Garrix, and from the Rams, Clay Matthews. And
I don't know how they do it, but they never disappoint. It's time for What's Up with Florida. Hit it, Steve.
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
This will not surprise any regular listeners of this program, but get ready. A new television series called Florida Man could soon be making its television debut.
Of course.
Florida, as you know, produces some of the nation's most bizarre news stories, and now the Oxygen Network has plans to showcase some of the state's most outlandish crimes, especially focusing on murder.
You said, you made a mistake. You said the Oxygen Network.
Oh, a lot of murder on Oxygen. Oh, okay. A lot of murder.
Yeah. When the murder is so bizarre, the motive is so far-fetched, and the crime so outlandish, it sounds like something from a Hollywood screenplay, there's a good chance it was actually committed by a Florida man, said the network in its show descriptions. Jensen, you're telling me your show might not get picked up, but Florida Man is coming to the Oxygen Network?
TV times are weird.
They are weird. Is that a show you guys would watch if they had a show called Florida Man?
I mean, if it comes on like right after Snapped, I might watch a little bit of it.
What is Snapped?
Oh, women, that snap.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
They have a show called Snapped?
Oh, my gosh.
And that's about women like flipping their wig? Like, that's about like
just losing it?
Nuts?
Just like they have put up with enough.
Oh, wow.
Now they're seek my revenge.
Like killing the abusive husband?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Are you kidding me? It's been on for like a decade.
Look, I don't get the Oxygen Channel.
Same.
Oh,
I mean,
you have to show proof of your vagina
right,
to get
exactly.
it. Yeah.
Police were called to a Burger King where they found a woman named Jamie Westcott, 35 years old. She's in the toilet and she was screaming. So the Burger King staff there, they said, hey, something's going on in the restroom here. If there's any way you can come check it out. So they arrive, and she consented to a search of her property and person. And while the police officer was feeling her up, basically, she reported that something hard was felt on the right side of her groin area.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
The officer said, what's going on down there? And she said, I'm not going to tell you what's going on
down there. Yep. What's going on, you know,
what's going on
down there?
She refused to say what the contraband was. The police officer said, look, there's additional charges if we take you in and you bring contraband into the jail. And she said, all right, you got me. I effed up. It turned out she had not one, not two, not five, but 7 full syringes of drugs in her vagina.
Oh, my God.
The syringes had a clear substance inside. The report did not identify the liquid, as tests are now being carried out. So she was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia, resisting an officer without violence, and introducing contraband into a penal institution, which is a felony.
I want to smell it.
I don't think you do.
I don't think you want that.
Mm-mm. 7 syringes in your vagina. What? I mean, has she never heard of a purse? I mean, there's got to be an easier way to handle this, right?
Purse.
Here's a story that made national news. Perhaps you saw it. This is a 23-year-old named Dylan Shane Webb. He was pulled over by the police the other day in Florida, and the policeman said, hey, that sticker that you have on the back of your truck that says, I eat ass? I believe that is a violation of the state's obscene materials statute. How would a parent of a small child explain the meaning of the words, I eat ass?
I don't know, but I'd like to see it.
The guy basically said, sue me. Take me to court. First Amendment right.
You know what? That's the thing to stand up to. I agree. That's
gonna,
where I've
you're going to die on the hill. That's the one.
That's where I've snapped.
Sure. The deputy asked Mr. Webb to alter the sticker so that it would no longer be derogatory. And he said, again, no. First Amendment grounds. I am absolutely not. Look, I have a right as a citizen to put I eat ass on the back of my truck.
He should have taken a marker and just put H-O-L-E at the end of it. There you go. How about that?
He was arrested. He was handcuffed, placed in the rear of a squad car, and then booked. But the charges have been dropped,
is
you guys.
Is that right?
The prosecutor's office agreed that a jury would likely find that he had a First Amendment right to I eat ass.
USA!
Right?
USA!
So that is a, I mean, that's a win for the First Amendment right mm-hmm. there. And I also am going to put an I eat ass sticker on my car now that I
sure.
know I can.
Yeah.
A Florida man is facing charges of driving under the influence after he crashed his riding lawnmower into a police car on Saturday night.
Yes.
He's 68 years old. His name is Gary Wayne Anderson. He crashed into the vehicle while an officer was away from the car. The cop heard the noise, walked back, saw the lawnmower, then noticed that the man was very drunk, was not able to complete field sobriety tests, and that his demeanor ranged from laughing to aggressive. Mr. Anderson was taken into custody, but then he reportedly accused the police of poisoning him and asked to be taken to a hospital. So he's drunk, he's on a lawnmower, he hits a cop, and then he starts making up that the police poisoned me and demands to be taken to a hospital. He gets to the hospital, by the way. His blood alcohol content level is 0.241.
Wow. Whoa.
Over three times the legal limit, and he also had cocaine in his system. He insisted,
but that's what the cop put there.
That's what he says, Kevin. He insisted that the police put the cocaine in his system, making his point with profane language and racial slurs. He's
excellent.
Doing everything right. In case you're wondering, by the way, his driver's license has been suspended since 1978.
Oh, my gosh.
The police department told reporters it's never a good idea to get behind the wheel drunk, even if that is a wheel to a Craftsman, Massey Ferguson, or John Deere. So stay off the lawnmower, even if you are drunk. And finally, a Florida man got more than he expected when he decided to steal drugs from a Pinellas County home. He believed the pills he was stealing were powerful opioids. They were in a box, they were in a lockbox in a prescription bottle that said hydrocodone.
Okay.
So he thought, jackpot, this is exactly what I wanted. So he steals it. They've got all this on video, so they know that this is what happened, okay? For whatever reason, there weren't hydrocodone pills in that prescription bottle. They were gentle laxatives from Walmart.
Oh.
Meant for gentle, dependable overnight relief. Now, I have so many questions about
that. That's false advertising. He should sue.
Why would you keep your laxatives in a hydrocodone bottle, first of all?
In case you get robbed. Everyone knows that.
Okay, but why would you put your laxatives in a lockbox?
Yeah, that's all strange.
This is very curious, isn't it? I think you're right. I think this guy needs to sue. I think he's got some sort of case. Just bad. That's just bad advertising is what that is. But it's the beauty of the Sunshine State, you guys. This has been What's Up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
It's weird, Kevin, that on your recent vacation to Spain, you felt like you came within a few inches of sure death.
I was positive.
Yeah.
Dead. It wasn't even just like, oh, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
I was sure.
It was end times.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to me on vacation last week. I came.
You're on a scooter and you got hit by a bus?
No.
That would be a weird coincidence.
Yeah, it would
be. I think the universe is trying to take us out.
Right?
The universe is saying, you know, enough with the Kevin and B.
We've had enough of both of you.
So I will tell that story coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the K-Rock. First, though, Avatar 2, you guys. Allie, I know you're very disappointed. Avatar 2, which was supposed to come out in 2014, was then delayed to 2017, and now will not hit theaters until December of 2020.
Damn it!
Over a year and a half from now.
Yeah.
Why so soon?
Now, when did, forgive me for not remembering, but when did the original Avatar movie come out?
1972.
Was it 10 years ago?
I would think
2009,
right?
2009, yeah.
10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now the sequel is a year and a half away. And look, I know that it was a big deal at the time, but are there people really excited about Avatar 2?
Call us and let us know, 1-800-520-1067, because Ali was doing a story about Disney and how they were going to put out an Avatar 1 year, Star Wars the next, Avatar the next year, as if
people care.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it's equal to Star Wars. Hey, one of these big, huge movies each year. I have no interest in seeing Avatar.
And by the way, when you say as if it's one of, it is the highest grossing film of all time. So you have to admit, a ton of people, more than
Endgame.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean they want to go back.
I just think in order to make that kind of money, you have repeat watchers, right?
Agreed.
Sure.
So someone had seen the original Avatar numerous times. Mm-hmm. I just haven't read an article. I haven't met a person. I haven't seen one take of anyone who's like, yeah, I'm thrilled that they're making so many Avatars. Right. Can't wait.
Let me throw this at you. There are times where there is a pop culture moment that is lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A billion people watch Gangnam Style on YouTube, for instance.
I love that. I need to see it again.
But that doesn't mean that that billion people are like, come on, Psy, what are you following that up? I mean, it's just a thing that, for whatever reason, is red hot for a minute. But there's no way, and please, tell us we're wrong at 1-800-520-1067. If you're an Avatar head, I just don't see that there's a way that there is a sustained audience out there that is on the edge of their seat.
I have an answer for
five Avatar movies.
I have an answer for why number one was so successful and why most people probably won't care about the other ones. And it was a tweet from Srack.
Okay.
S-R-A-C-K, I think. Mm-hmm. And he said it was, or she said, it was a theater experience. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing thing to watch because of the 3D, which seemed like it was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
But the plot was thin and no one really cared about the characters. It was more eye candy than anything
else. So visually it felt groundbreaking, like we've never seen it before.
Amazing.
But now we have.
Right.
FYI for everyone. Haven't walked out of a movie in 10 years because the last one I did was Avatar 1.
Is that right? Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Wasn't good. It made me dizzy also, just so it's out there.
This listener, ReadyMade, says, lame. I just wanted to say that I'm actually very excited about the Avatar films. The things that make them so interesting is they are directed by James Cameron. And you remember the last film that James Cameron directed was Avatar. If you look at the rest of the movies he's directed, you'll see it's a pretty amazing lineup. In fact, I think Kevin talked to James Cameron about the amazing technology that he uses in his films.
How dare you?
The last time we had him on.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
I mean, he covered it. And James Cameron is a groundbreaker when it comes to technology. There's no question about that. This is a guy who invents cameras and invents different ways to shoot movies that we've never seen before. So I get technology.
Yeah.
If you're into that. But you need a story.
Agreed.
You need characters.
To get people to go back,
well,
you need a story.
I do remember he, like, in between these times, has been very involved in, like, underwater cameras and stuff, like making sure that, you know, he's really into, like, IMAX and all this stuff. And I remember someone telling me, you got to see it. It's the most clear picture of these fish you'll ever see underwater. I was like, is it more than an aquarium? Because it can't be better than an aquarium.
Maybe this isn't for you.
Right. Because I can go to an aquarium.
I feel like it's for Josh.
Let's talk to Josh in Redlands. He is actually the Avatar head that we are looking for. Josh, thank you for listening and calling. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for hearing me.
Sure. So, Avatar, what's up?
I love that movie. I saw it over 10 times in theaters, and I own the standard and director's cut on Blu-ray.
Wow.
10 times.
What was it about? Look, I remember they were all blue. I'm out.
That's all you remember? I mean, okay.
If you don't like the Blue Man Group, Kevin, then you're not going to like it.
Well played, Josh. I mean, does it end on a cliffhanger where you're waiting to find out what the next chapter is?
Kind of, sort of. Like, it ends with, you know, them now being the blue aliens, and it could be seen ending there. But it also, if you want, sets up for the next one. Like, oh, hey, there's more of an adventure. What happens now since they're now aliens and all the people were kicked off the planet?
Leaves this reviewer cold. All right, now let me ask you about this, Josh, and I don't know that you're the guy that has the answer to this, but are any of the actors from the original Avatar still alive?
It was 2009.
Yeah, a lot of them died off.
It's only been 10 years. It's not like they're moving to England. Well,
Josh got both of us in one call. Well done.
I mean, whoever they have left from the original cast has to be around for a 2021 movie, a 2023 movie, a 2025 movie, and a 2027 movie. This is expanding upon generations here. But all right, Josh, it sounds like you're in line for that when it comes back. We appreciate the call, sir. Thanks so much. All right, let's talk to Jim Anaheim. He is a self-confessed Avatar head. He's on line four.
Hey, Jim.
Hi.
Hi, Jim.
I was never a Star Trek fan, any of those movies. There was no movie that really ever moved me like Avatar. That movie absolutely blew me away. I literally cried time after time watching that movie. It's a story of love.
I mean, I saw it as just a bunch of blue people.
Same.
But what is it that you, like, what connected with you?
The loyalty was so beautifully portrayed when the human, adapted to Zoe Saldana and, committed his love to her. He was loyal to her above all. I mean, and she to him.
By the way, I'd see her again, though. I have to be honest.
Wait, you're doing a weird voice.
Yeah.
Even blue, Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So it was a love story like with James Cameron's Titanic. That's what made people keep going back over and over and over again.
But
Jack
here's
and
what's
Rose.
Weird is I do remember the love story in Titanic. Mm-hmm. I don't remember it in Avatar.
I think a lot of people don't remember almost
what
anything.
It was about.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a paralyzed serviceman or something? In Avatar? Yeah.
Yes. He was
okay.
And they let him live out his basic blue man fantasies. That's like the whole movie, right?
And then he started the Blue Man Group.
I don't think so.
Right?
Yeah.
What?
But it's like a virtual reality thing, right, Jim? Like they plug him in and then he can go live in Avatar Land.
Yes, and he's able to walk again in Avatar Land and all that. But really, the story is about loyalty. The story is about, emotional
commitment.
Is
a dog's purpose. I mean, come on. Let's.
That's a good point.
I'm just saying.
Let's go all back to you crying several times in the theater.
Oh, let Jim enjoy it, you guys.
Me behind him just, ha ha. Pointing over and over.
So listen, we have sold two tickets here today. Josh is going, Jim is going, probably going with each other because they can't find dates to go to this. But have a great time in December of 2020. And hey, a quick reminder, if you've not yet got your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose Luau and Beach Party June 8th at Doheny, you can win them this morning at 9 a.m. and then throughout the day all the way up until 5 p.m. You can also go to krock.com for a chance to win VIP passes and a hotel stay, which is good news because it's in South America this year. So you'll want a hotel. It's pretty far south. So my bride and I...
Rest in peace, Bean. Let's just get it out of the way now.
Right? I survived, actually.
Rest in peace. I miss him already.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's still here. I think we just hear his voice in our heads, you know?
I'm here. Spoiler alert. We survived. My bride and I drove across country yesterday from our home in New Orleans back to Seattle where, believe it or not...
You mean last week? When you say yesterday, you mean last week?
Yes, I do. Oh,
was it head trauma?
It was.
Okay.
It was. Where we are preparing to sell our house, so if any Kevin and Bean listeners would like to live in my house, it's going to be up for sale soon.
That's what this is about.
Yeah.
As we prepare to move. Yeah, so I need you to call and tell me how many bedrooms you need. So anytime we drive across country, I've done it multiple times throughout the years, I always look at it as a success if we get to the end of it and we haven't been in an accident and we haven't had car trouble and we haven't gotten any speeding tickets, right? Because 3,000 miles, it's pretty likely that one of those things is going to happen.
Sure.
So this time around was the closest we ever came to not only being in an accident, but to actually dying on the highway driving back to Seattle. It was one of the most terrifying things that has ever happened to us. We're on the road. We're almost back to Seattle. We're in Yakima County in eastern Washington, and we're driving down the road.
We're going the wrong way, and Clark Griswold was like, "Hey, you're going the wrong way."
That's a movie.
It wasn't like that at all. So we're in the right-hand lane, and there is an SUV in the left-hand lane, and I look up, and out of the corner of my eye, I see that this SUV is on fire.
And fuego.
While moving?
And fuego while moving.
Wow.
And I want to make it clear to you guys that I am not talking about a small fire. I am not talking about a spark. This wasn't a situation where a tire came off and it was just the axle that was hitting the road and it was sparking.
Did the driver know it, or was he just like...
This was...
If I could whistle, that would have been better.
This was fire that was 10 feet wide.
Wow.
What?
10
feet.
The entirety of the underneath of this SUV was on fire, going out both sides, and it was, I mean, it looked like it was going to explode.
I can't believe you didn't just immediately pull out your cell phone and yell World Star. That would have made you rich on the internet.
So I see this, and I realize I need to get as far away from this firebomb as possible, so I just start leaning, taking the car off to the right, off to the side of the road.
Just off the road into the dirt, and you're going 60 miles an hour.
Well, because you're nervous it's going to blow up.
Yes, yeah. I very much think it's going to blow off. And the last thing I see before I start turning right to get off the highway is this vehicle is turning toward us.
Oh, no.
Okay? No.
And I'm thinking we are all dead. Just like you on the scooter in Barcelona, Kevin, you are convinced that this is your final moment.
Now, I was by myself. You were with Donna?
I was with Donna.
Because that would be a disaster.
She is on the phone. Losing me is fine.
Right.
Losing Donna.
That's what I'm saying.
Very upset.
She is actually on the phone because she had a little bit of a different perspective than I did, because while I was busy guiding the car off the highway, she was looking at the driver of the van that was on fire. So we bring her into the conversation now. Now, so far, I have not exaggerated anything about what we saw. Right, Donna?
No. In fact, the only thing that you under-exaggerated was the amount of fire, was the kind of fire that I feel in my heart for you with love.
That's
how big.
Wow.
That's how huge the flames were.
I wish you'd both gone.
All right. So there was a lot of fire, and while I was busy getting us off the highway, yes. you looked over at the other driver. Now, what did you see, Donna? Right.
Well, from my perspective and from Linus's perspective, who anybody who's ever driven with a dog knows your dog is not strapped into the car. So
right.
This was a terrifying, terrifying thing to see. The car actually flips around. It explodes underneath. It flips around so that it's now facing us.
Is this a duel?
Oh, my God.
I swear to God, it's the craziest thing. It's like it's a little bit ahead of us, and it flips around to the right, so the driver is now going the wrong way on the highway. He is facing us, and he's about to flip into us. And we literally for like 2 seconds make eye contact, and it's one of those very slow motion things where I see him and he sees me.
Was he hot?
And he was actually really attractive.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I thought this is going to just suck because that his face was totally his money. And
you don't want him to get burned, right?
He sees us.
I'm glad in the last seconds of Donna's life, she's looking for a way to upgrade.
No, I wasn't looking to upgrade. I just felt bad for him because he's a young man with a lot of hot women ahead of him if he plays his cards right and gets out of the spin. So he looks up and he sees that he is about to flip his car into us, and he steers the opposite direction. He steered into the median. It was like he saw the horror on my face. I saw the horror on his face. And he literally steered the other way. And in doing so, which was super kind of him, he flipped his car 4 times.
Oh my gosh.
No.
Because the median is not a flat median. It is a ditch.
Was it John Wick?
I've never seen anything like it in my life. He was about to flip his car into us, and instead of doing that, he threw himself, under the bus, metaphorically.
There was a bus?
Oh, my God. This story has everything.
He flipped his car into the median.
It was
just crazy. And Bean, I have to say, Bean is an amazing professional stunt driver. I have never in my life been with anybody who remains so unbelievably calm. He just kept saying, literally, he just kept saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We're going to just get off the road. Do not worry. I've got this. I've got this.
And
he doing 20 or 25 miles per hour?
I mean, we were in the high 80s range. I mean, this is the open highway. This is the last push to get home.
Gotcha.
It has been a very, very trying 5 days in the car, 24 hours together. So we want to get out of there.
Donna was praying for sweet death at this point. Let me just say, because I know we don't have a lot of time here. So Donna's right. So this car flips over 3 or 4 times, and I think there is no question that it is going to explode because there was so much fire. But we didn't see any fire coming off the car when it ended up landing on its roof. Thank God.
Yeah,
I don't know whether somehow the fire went out or what.
It extinguished itself.
So you kept going. No, we pulled over.
Okay.
And then Donna, and this is a real gut moment, Kevin. I want you guys to all think about
Donna
this.
Donna got his number?
Donna started cooking s'mores?
No.
Hey,
Donna said.
Listen up.
No, right, listen to what happened. Donna said, you need to go make sure that dude's okay. You need to go maybe pull that guy out of the car.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, that car is going to explode.
Yeah.
How close do I want to be to that car? But on the other side, obviously, that dude probably needs help.
Yeah.
But mercifully, before I had to make that decision, I saw that there were a bunch of people that stopped on both sides of the highway behind us. They were already getting out of their cars and going over there. So I didn't have to look like a pussy, and those guys were able to be heroes.
That's good, because I don't think you could have accomplished that.
I think if we had been alone, if we had been the only two cars on the road, I think I absolutely would have had to do it. I think you can't just leave in a situation like this. You can't. But here's the good news, you guys. So we waited until early evening, and Donna called the Yakima Police Department to get the update to find out what happened, because we were convinced that whatever happened was bad inside that car.
Right.
It turned out that that guy had his family with him.
Oh,
no.
They were all strapped in, and they only had my... Donna?
Donna, you okay?
You okay?
Smoke inhalation from that crash.
Did you faint?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. That was my squeaky bottle of water. I'm sorry. It was making noise. I didn't see anything.
It turned out they were all fine. Turned out they went to the hospital, minor injuries. They were all fine. So nobody got hurt, even though it was
shocking.
We were seconds away from both of us colliding into a fireball and blowing
up. By the way, what an amazing dude to see that he was about to take you out and go the other direction. That's unbelievable.
Well, I think so too, but was it also just self-preservation, because he was just trying to avoid being in an accident?
He was in an accident. He rolled four times. Yeah. I mean, he was trying to avoid you guys, I think.
He was trying to avoid hitting us in favor of
Wow, neither of you will give him credit.
I know.
No. I 100% gave him credit. In fact, when I called the police, I said, this guy is a hero. He totally saved our lives. We would be dead if he had not sacrificed himself.
And do you have his cell phone number?
Oh, yeah. She definitely asked that.
I'm so sad. The police don't give you that kind of information, no matter how much you beg.
Just so you know now, we do know that if Bean's car ever catches on fire, he's driving into any car near him. Clearly, that's your instinct. O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Number 6.7. Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
You still got it, man.
106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock. You, it's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
You still got it, dude.
Right?
Don't ever let anyone say you're slipping.
Thank you, Bean.
Allie is here. Time for another look at what's happening here on a Tuesday.
Not great news coming out from the Dodgers. Their pitcher, Julio Urías, was arrested in connection for domestic violence.
Oh, no.
An incident at the Beverly Center last night. Police have
I'm more disgusted he went to the Beverly Center.
Well, you shouldn't be.
Bad mall.
I mean.
He's kidding.
Okay. Officers responded
to a... She
was
unable to go along with the story until I told her that.
Responded to a disturbance call at the shopping mall around 7:30 on Monday. They spoke to him at the parking structure where witnesses said he was arguing with the female individual and he, quote, laid hands on her. So, not good. No. He was taken into custody on suspicion of battery or domestic violence. He posted $20,000 in bail. And I guess we'll see how this one plays out.
Mm.
Not a good situation.
No.
Go Dodgers and fire beer mug.
I mean, that's your mother saying that. That seems wrong. That seems very wrong.
But it's beer mug's mother. So that it all makes sense.
Do you remember back in 2003, young man stepped out onto the late night stage and said, I'm Jimmy Kimmel. He might have said something else. Probably didn't lead with I'm Jimmy
Kimmel. Yeah, we don't remember exactly, but...
But 2003,
that's when he started?
Is when he started. Well, that man, Mr. Jimmy Kimmel, has just sealed a 3-year contract extension as host and executive producer of Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yay!
The late night show that he has fronted since 2003, and this will keep him in place on ABC through his 20th season of the show.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Good for you, Jimmy.
That's too long to do a job that hard.
It's a lot of work.
He works really hard. Yeah,
every
he
day.
He really
does.
Yeah.
And people watch that show and think, oh, what a great life.
He look must out. Be winging it.
And when you do it so good, it does look like you're winging it. But people don't know. He gets there, at like 8 o'clock
in the morning?
Yeah. And he's there until 6 o'clock at night, at least?
Yep.
It's a pretty grueling day.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
And the Booyah thing.
We forget that sometimes.
People forget that. But congratulations to Jimmy Kimmel. And they've got to be happy, right? Because they've got to be
happy. He is a dick.
I don't think they're saying that at all. But, you know, he's hosted the Primetime Emmys. He's hosted the Oscars twice.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
I don't think we're saying that either. Oh. He's a good employee for that network.
Like, he's not just a genius. He's also awesome.
There you go.
That's better.
Yeah.
He is the founder of ISIS.
I don't think he founded ISIS.
He's kind of dope.
I agree with you, Jensen. I believe he is kind of dope.
Kevin, asshole.
He's not an asshole. No. Kevin, you go to the movies a lot.
Yeah.
Do you buy snacks there?
Always.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's like really expensive for popcorn and candy and a soda.
Yeah, but I mean, usually I bring some stuff from home.
Yeah.
Because I do have a lot
of
candy.
You're a sneaker. Yeah. You sure. bring in bags.
Sure.
Oh.
But do you get popcorn? Is that what you get?
I get popcorn sometimes. I get red wine sometimes.
Okay.
Diet
but
Coke.
A soda?
It all depends,
okay.
yeah.
All right. AMC Entertainment reports that it sold a record $13 million worth of soda, popcorn, and other snacks at Avengers Endgame on opening day. That
wow.
is just one theater group, AMC Entertainment. $13 million worth of soda, popcorn, and other snacks on opening day. And then they broke the record the next day with $15 million worth of sales.
Man, I didn't know theaters made that much. I know they make a lot. It's a big markup.
That's
I know
where
that.
They make their most money yeah. is concessions, especially in new movies where they get less of a cut and the studio gets more of a cut from ticket sales.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's a good chunk of change.
How do you smuggle your food in? You
Not
carry
that hard.
A purse?
Yeah,
Chip's
I carry
pointing
a purse.
At her anus. Is that correct?
It depends on what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's dots, a giant box of dots.
Sure.
Uh-huh. But
let's go right
what
there.
If when yeah. you bring okay. in a pickle?
Pickle? No.
Oh.
Oddly enough.
Not in the book.
I smoke it. And they think it's a cigar.
Do you bring a pickle to the movie theater, Jensen?
That is a strange
thing. Do you really?
Is it a Jewish thing?
What? Do you
Number
really?
One, this is a joke that's turned anti-Semitic from Bean. But what I'm saying is, where does he hide it? I was alluding to the idea that would go up his butt.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you've never brought a pickle into a theater.
I would. I would have no problem bringing the bag Disneyland pickle. I'd have no problem.
I mean, okay. honestly, I don't think any theaters really look that close.
Well,
they don't really care.
To Detective Pikachu, we brought in Skittles bags, and mm-hmm. Danielle and I both, as we took them out, felt we were breaking the law.
Yeah.
It felt very
illegal.
It does illegal.
Feel like you're really doing something.
You get over it.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. All right.
How do you feel about the Jews?
Interesting question.
He said, is that a Jewish thing about bringing pickles yeah. into a movie theater?
I mean, that's true.
Look, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to learn.
Just trying to learn.
Lahine.
More like Lahine knee, right? Because he some birthdays for you. File. David
How do you
Byrne.
Feel about the Jews?
I like them. Kate Blanchett, George Lucas, Sofia Coppola, Amber Tamblyn, Robert Zemeckis, Mark Zuckerberg, Martin Garrix, and Clay Matthews. And
I know I've asked you this before, but I'm going to say it again. Don't tease me by playing Local H when we're this close to Weenie Roast.
Right?
Because it's just too much of a disappointment. Hey, before we get into the phone topic that I think is going to be a very interesting conversation with our listeners, I understand we had a kind of a celebrity appearance on the Afro line last night.
Yeah, my mom is a big Bachelorette fan and The Bachelor, and she watches it with one of those
Let's not just move past right. that so quickly. Yeah. That's odd.
I don't think she's ever missed a season.
Wow.
Really?
And she's super into it, but she also has like a genuine care for the like contestants.
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't like someone, she hates them for the
okay.
whole season. Oh, she's terrible. He's terrible. If they like someone, if she likes someone, she goes, oh, this person is the best. Oh, I love this person. You know,
so
she really invests.
All in on this show.
She's also a woman who during the American Idol days, I'd go, who did you vote for? And she goes, oh, I voted for, I call for everyone, but it's more calls for certain people. Like 6 for Kelly Clarkson.
That's awesome.
4 for Sanjaya. 3 for Bo Bice. Like she does. She
Oh, so
she,
sweet.
She sets it up in a tier system, but yeah. she doesn't want anyone to feel
to not
bad.
Have votes. Correct. Yeah.
yeah.
Now, let me ask you this about Haroldine.
Yes.
Is this what she was like when you would bring dates home? Was she?
No, she, I think she was
super
always
opinionated.
No, she was always very kind towards women I dated. So I don't okay. think this is just something she does for reality TV, I think. Yeah. So I encouraged her to call into the Afro line and give her opinions after episodes. And this is the first one, so we don't know how it's going to go.
All right.
We have no idea. This is without any encouragement or telling her what to do. Just call in and give us a report.
Hi, guys. It's Haroldine, Jensen's mom. I'm giving you a little review of A Bachelorette tonight. So first of all, she would not have been my pick to be the Bachelorette.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
There's just something about her. It's kind of like a facade anyway, she had given this nice speech at the beginning to all of the guys, saying how she didn't expect them to be perfect because she's not. And then she found out that one of the guys had a girlfriend and talked to her just before he came on the show and said that I'll be back with you once the show's over.
Son of a bitch!
Oh, boy. See, my mom already doesn't like this woman, I think.
Well, agreed, yeah.
Yeah, I think she's already thinking she's a slutty. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. Oh, she gets to that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So she confronted him, and I think it was really over the top, the way she confronted him.
I'm sorry, The Bachelorette was over the top?
No.
And it was very unbecoming, the way she handled it. I don't know if it's insecure, but she cries a lot, and she's also kind of like riding that rail of Slutitaville, you know?
Slutitaville.
My mom in the first review slut-shamed The Bachelorette.
Wow.
Slutitaville, you know? She's kind of being a little out there, but she passed up one really good guy.
Oh.
That was a pilot, and he was really, really a sweetheart, but I don't think she would have been for him anyhow. Mm. He was too nice. So basically...
Oh, she's really into each character. You know what?
She gets invested. This is
He's a nice guy. She's not for
This
him.
Is her dragon show.
Wow.
She's too much, too fast, okay. And I think she has a little insecurity there because she cries a lot.
Oh.
So outside of that, it wasn't one of my favorite episodes at all.
Okay.
And I think there's going to be a lot more drama with the guys in the show on the previews for next week.
Yeah.
Was this the setup? The introduce everybody?
Yeah, this is the intro. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So that's it. And I'll just say for now goodbye. And she's not the greatest.
Okay.
But you guys can see for yourself. Have a good day. Talk to you later. Bye.
Do we have to see for her?
I mean, that's what we're employing her for.
So I watched it for a while.
You did?
Yeah, I was really into it for a while because it's so cheesy and stupid and people are crazy.
Mm-hmm. I don't get that channel in Slutitaville.
How great was that?
I do need that as a drop, by the way.
Of course.
Do you think that there is a dartboard in my mom's house of just that woman's face?
Probably.
She does not like her. Probably.
No. We have to check in to see if my mom's going to murder her.
But I do think your opinion changes on the men and the women as the season progresses too.
Well, like they always make them look better in the end because they want to still sell them, you know what I mean?
Right.
But my mom sticks pretty strong to her opinions.
Okay. Yeah. All right, thank you, Harold E. We appreciate the update. All right, here's the topic. This goes back to a conversation we had yesterday about an event that Kevin and many of the Kevin and Bean listeners were at on Friday that involved a lockdown. You want to set it up for us, Kevin?
Yeah, we were at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino for poker night, and about a half hour before it started, something completely unrelated to the Bicycle Hotel and Casino, a car chase went by in front of it. And the guy was, you may have seen this on the TV, was shooting at the cops. I couldn't tell if it was a pistol or a sawed-off shotgun or
insane.
Whatever. And then,
wasn't it a woman driving, if I remember correctly?
I think
too?
So. I think
Which is very
so.
Rare.
Mm-hmm. It was hard to know what was going on when you're inside because you hear 1,000 different rumors. But then 3 or 4 miles later is when they stopped and there was a giant shootout between the two. So they pretty much locked down the casino and said, employee, non-employee, no one comes in, no one goes out.
Because shots happen on the street right in
so
front.
So they closed it off and they were trying to find any piece of evidence
casings
that they can't, casings,
yeah.
anything like that. And they told us near the beginning of the night that we wouldn't be able to leave for the entire night.
Wow.
And then my first thought was, yes, but I'm in a casino.
Yeah, you're good.
So if you're going to be on lockdown, that's the place to be.
For sure.
And a bunch of our listeners did end up getting past the police and jumping fences so mm-hmm. that they could come
sure.
in and play poker. So those are my peeps.
Yeah.
But it was an odd thing to be able to be told there's nothing you can do.
Right.
Employees, no one can leave. And my car was at the, you know, parked. And so there was no way I could leave. And then by about 1:30 in the morning, they let us leave.
Can
eventually.
You imagine calling your husband or wife and being like, listen, they told me I have to stay and gamble.
There's
oh,
nothing
sure
I can
not
do.
Sure, honey. Right? Sure, honey. I believe you.
No, we're in the casino. Yeah, but I'm just saying they closed the entrances.
In middle school, it's early high school, I DJ'd a party in Van Nuys, and it was like the end of the night around midnight or 12:30, and I went to go get, like, it was R&B time. I went to go get the R&B records out mm-hmm. of the car. And as I'm walking out, another party goer goes, hey, you might not want to go out there right now. There's a fight.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, God. So I was like, oh, thank you, man. And so I started to go closer to the door just to be like, I'll wait to see if it's fine. And so I start to go and I hear gunshots and then the whole party freaks out. Everyone runs. Ooh. So I go and hide under the DJ table. I'm so terrified. the gun. I see like security guards in the club or whatever with guns out. This is a terrible situation. So a guy gets shot outside in this gang fight back in the day.
Wow. In Van Nuys?
Yeah, in Van Nuys. He dies.
It's not hard to believe, Bean.
He dies.
Yeah. Van Nuys sucks.
Honestly, that was the least shocking part of the story.
Van Nuys in the 90s, though, I would not have thought as gang headquarters. All right, go ahead.
Late 90s. And so this guy gets, you know, he dies outside of the club from getting gunshot. So we all are now in a crime scene. I was there until 3:30 in the morning.
What time was it when you went to?
Around 11.
Oh wow,
12.
Wow.
And so my mom and dad had to come pick me up from this party at 3:30.
That's funny.
Outside in their like robes, holding our family Shih Tzu. I was the only. They're like, "Whose parents are those?" I was like, "Yeah, whose parents are those?" And I slowly walked into the car. But it's a terrible thing, just sitting around waiting for it to end. I wasn't in a casino.
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, that's the best place to be if you're going to be on lockdown. But we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, if you were involved in some type of lockdown. Because mm-hmm. it seems to happen a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just out of precaution. Mm-hmm. Nothing's really happened yet, but maybe they got a call or something else, and they put it on lockdown to make sure nothing's going on.
I would crawl out of my skin, I'm telling you. I would hate it so much.
But you... What?
Even if I didn't want to go anywhere, it would drive me crazy that I wasn't allowed to.
What if it was in your house?
So I would be being held against my will. It would be very difficult.
You do want nothing more than just to stay in your house. They would be doing you a favor.
But you know what? You know what it's like, Kevin.
Of course.
When somebody says you can't do something, that's all you want to do.
If they say you can't eat, it doesn't matter if you're hungry or not. You want to eat.
Yeah, you're starving.
I agree. You want the opposite of what you're being told.
All right. Who has been in a lockdown? You couldn't go in. You couldn't go out. We want to hear your stories. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you on K-Rock next.
All right. Just had a Silver Sun pickup. So let's take one phone call. We're talking about you were on lockdown. We have Megan in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, it was really random. I was working at a major department store in Fashion Island in Newport Beach. Mm-hmm. And I was in the middle of doing a dress fitting, and her husband texts her saying, oh my God, are you okay? And she was like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm doing a dress fitting. And that's when we heard the security door shut. And finally, they announced over the loudspeakers that there was a shooting happening in the parking lot and that we weren't going to be allowed to leave. No one was going to be allowed to leave. And it was about, I think, between 4 and 6 hours later that they finally let us go.
Wow, that is crazy. Do you have the same reaction that we do, which is if you tell me that I can't leave, I really need to leave?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were having people sign waivers. If they were, like, adamant that they had to go, they were having people sign waivers saying, like, you're on your own if you leave these doors.
Look, I'm not going to sue if I get shot. Okay, good.
Jesus. Now, would you still have been at work for that 4 to 6 hours anyway, or did it keep you there after your job was done?
Well, it actually, I was just about to go on my lunch break, and then they were like, you can't leave. And I was like, come on. So I was trying to find a way to sneak out, but then I realized, like, nothing would be open for me to get anyway.
Well, Megan, there's a Sparrow there, isn't there? Some sort of mall shop?
But they're closed. They're on lockdown.
Oh, that's my nightmare. If I can't get a Sparrow and I'm there for 4 to 6 hours,
for years,
close the mall.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to become the shooter.
thank you, Megan. Appreciate that. Jensen, we're going to give you a chance to take that back.
Okay.
The new one from Silver Sun Pickups playing the Weenie Roast next month is called It Doesn't Matter Why. Great song here on K-Rock. By the way, I love that song. And
same.
I'm so excited for that album.
Same.
Her name is Janice, I want to say. I'm probably butchering that. Sorry. I was in a lockdown in high school because there was a guy, quote unquote, with a bomb across the street. Not the best when you have a really weak bladder and needed to pee right before the lockdown began. Didn't even think about the peeing situation. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you were ever involved in a lockdown. Laura says, I was in a lockdown in high school thanks to a student stabbing another student. Years later, I ended up dating the older brother of the one stabbed in high school. What are the odds?
That's a real love story. A meet cute.
Yeah.
That is really beautiful.
Real meet cute.
All right, let's go back to your calls on this topic. Carlos is up first. He's in Garden Grove. Carlos, thank you for calling. What's going on, my friend?
Good morning, party people.
Morning.
Yeah, so this is not a lockdown. This was apparently a shootout where the deputies and the suspect. We're coming back from a Dodger game, and this is in Hacienda Heights. We're getting off the freeway, off the 7th Street exit, and there's a Motel 6 as soon as you wrap around the off-ramp. So we saw a lot of cops, like, wait, something's going on. So we got off the freeway. We parked behind the Denny's, and as soon as we got off, me and my wife got off, and my daughter's like 8 months, 9 months, you know, she's still a baby. As soon as we got off the car, there was a shootout. right in front of us. We saw everything.
And, oh, my God.
And apparently, you know, we thought that suspect had shot the deputy, but it was not the case. Because later that morning, because they kept us for 24 hours.
They kept you for 24 hours? So they kept you where?
Yeah.
They kept us for like, till the next morning or that afternoon.
Where did they keep you?
This was at night, too. It was, like, around, like...
Where did they keep you? At what location were you
kept?
He's
still there, it
appears. I don't know. We were just tripping out. It was just happening right in front of us.
Where did you stay?
Carlos, we have a question for you.
Where did you stay during the time they detained you?
They took us to the local high school. Uh-huh. They took us to the auditorium, and they kept us there. There was a bunch of witnesses. It was actually prom night, because there was a lot of kids at Denny's at the time, I guess.
I hope all the witnesses had as much detail as you do, because they would have cracked the case.
But curious, though.
No.
He said they didn't shoot the deputy, but did they shoot?
No.
Okay, all right.
Nope. We're going to put that in the file anyway, because we know what was coming.
Even though you didn't get to say it, we're putting it in the file.
One last word on that last caller.
R.I.P. Carlos.
Okay.
Oh, R.I.P.
Yeah. That was I need to dissect that whole conversation.
I don't think you do, because it really doesn't lead anywhere.
All right. Who do you want next?
Let's see. Let's go to Jennifer, who is calling us from Ontario. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. How are all y'all?
We are good. Thank you.
Well, you were a teacher, so I guess you might know something about lockdowns.
Yes, I was actually in a couple.
Couple. What happened?
Yes. Well, the one I'm going to tell you about is, it was my first year teaching, and I was in Texas, and I worked for a charter school, so it wasn't a regular school. I was teaching preschool, and we were in a lockdown because a pimp's couple of the parents got in a fight because of at the club the night before.
Wait, did you say a pimp?
I heard a pimp.
A pimp and a couple of girlfriends?
But everybody at that school were either pimps, gangsters, drug dealers.
Yeah, it was a charter school.
Charter school, my bad. Okay.
Did you teach in Dangerous Minds?
It was a low-income charter school. Everybody there was drug dealers, stuff like that. It was a low, low income. You had to be low, low, low income to get into the school.
Were you packing heat?
Was I packing?
I mean, it seems like you should. It's Texas. Isn't that required in Texas?
I was the only white teacher there. I stood out like a sore thumb.
I gotcha. So how long were you on lockdown?
We were on lockdown until the next day. And then we were able to send the kids home. I had 25 preschool kids on lockdown with their sleeping mats over their heads for the entire day and the night.
What a nightmare.
We had no food, nothing. And imagine 25 preschool kids.
Nope.
No, that seems terrible.
I don't want to do that.
I don't want to imagine that at all.
I don't know why you ever spent another day as a teacher after that.
Yeah, I'd give up. Well, at least they...
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
5 minutes away from winning your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast Luau and Beach Party. We've got them for you. Straight up 9 o'clock. First Alley's got What's Happening on a Tuesday.
Guys.
What's going on?
This Game of Thrones... It does
is popular.
Does pretty good in the ratings. I want to remind you that this we don't need the cats.
We don't need the cats.
I mean,
really.
We don't not we don't, need the cats.
No, we definitely
don't
do
need
not
the cats. Yeah,
need it. Yeah. I want to remind you. This is for its first airing. These are not the streaming and the replay numbers. Those
what are we doing?
Be,
what are we doing here?
Those will be available soon. This is the first airing.
This is they watched it live.
Yeah.
Okay. Sunday night. So you're
Sunday
talking about
night.
Sunday night HBO, all right?
12.48 million viewers.
Nope.
All right.
Still
again,
need
don't
the
need it. Don't need it.
Isn't that way down from the first episode?
Again, if you had listened and didn't want to play your goddamn cats, you would have heard me say, this is the first airing, which doesn't include streaming and replay numbers, which will be available soon, which could push the numbers over 18 million viewers. which, again, would be a record. But the 12.48 is a record for that first air viewing. So that's huge.
Yeah.
So could be over 18 million. We'll find out in a bit when those numbers are available.
It was a heck of an episode, I'll tell you that.
It
was. What was your favorite part of the episode, Bean?
Which character? I mean, I thought the whole episode was great. I guess I'd have to say the dragon was my favorite part.
Same.
That's a bitchin' dragon.
Kicked
that
ass.
That is a bitchin' dragon. That's true.
And I have a dumb question. Because
Is that the sound of a dragon?
Who played that? Is that you, Bean?
Is that Dave?
It must have been. It wasn't me.
Dave?
Worst dragon.
That was Dave.
Unreal. That, honestly, it sounds like you have diarrhea.
It's not again. A dragon.
It's not good.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
This may be a really dumb question, Kevin, but since you and I are newbies to the Game of Thrones universe, weren't you surprised by how much fire one dragon can generate? Like, didn't you think it was like, at some point, it's like saliva where you need a
second?
Yes.
Where's all that fire coming from?
Where? How much fire? I mean, how much was his throat hurt after that?
It's not a real creature.
You're worried about a fictional creature's throat.
This is the most problematic part of Game of Thrones for him.
Wow.
I'm very concerned that they're overusing.
His throat must be so sore.
Do they sell lozenges there in Winterfell area?
Give the dragon a break is what I'm saying.
You're nervous he's parched.
Yes. Okay. At least some water, something, some refractory time. I mean, it's just like they were whipping him like a donkey. I don't know. It just seemed like too much. But it was bitching. I loved it.
Did you at any point Google how much fire can a dragon expel?
I did not. Did not do that.
All right.
I did not do that. Yeah.
Well, data from the Social Security Administration shows that since the HBO version of Game of Thrones first aired in 2011, at least 3,500 American girls have been named either Daenerys or Khaleesi.
That's high praise.
That's going to be great for them in 5 years, 6 years.
Or what about Monday after they saw her kind of turn into the crazy fat
the Mad Queen,
lady.
Yeah.
Mad Queen.
I mean,
the amazing bad lady, did
the
you
amazing
say?
Crazy bad lady.
Is it safe at this point to talk about it?
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This is a woman who was, you know, full of strength that parents looked at and said, oh, my God, I want my daughter to grow up and be just like her. And then she turned into essentially a mass murderer on Sunday night.
I mean, so she torched millions of civilians in order to, you know, go after
the lady.
And
what about the dragon's throat?
Right. I mean, she doesn't even give him a lozenge.
She doesn't care about his throat.
I don't see any of them even take a sip of water.
No.
But you give your kid this name, and then 5 years later, your kid is named after a mass murderer.
Yeah. Right?
It's crazy.
Yeah, I feel bad for all the kids who were named Soprano, you know, now.
Right.
People don't even remember the show existed.
Shut up.
Did people care about Sopranos like this?
I think so.
Oh, it was definitely
water cooler
talk. Yeah,
still a different time.
Yeah,
I think
agreed.
Now it's just so much more ramped up with socials being so popular and stuff that it feels bigger.
Yeah, I loved Sopranos very, very much.
Same.
But I don't know. I just feel like this is the biggest TV, my opinion. Yeah, it's like the biggest event.
Well, then it'll come as no surprise that Khaleesi alone was the 549th most popular name for girls last year. But just because it was popular, it also ranked above classics like Anne and Rosie.
Wow.
Khaleesi, more popular. That's crazy, you guys, right?
Yes.
Speaking of names that you shouldn't name your kid, what about baby Tesla?
Oh, no. Is that bad? That's the name we're going with.
109 babies born in the U.S. last year were named Tesla, which is down, shockingly, from 2017, 143. The name is far more popular for girls than for boys. By the way, if you're wondering, it is of Slavic Serbian Croatian origin, meaning from Thessaly or Thessaly.
What if we weren't wondering?
Are you wondering about other babies that have car-inspired names?
Before you get to that, Alan.
Yeah.
I was going to get to it because I was going to tell you that...
All right, go ahead.
It's not only named, you know, for the car, but also because of the scientist guy, right?
What?
Kevin, did you know two separate people?
No, I don't know anything about
this.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
you know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who, of course, came up with the Tesla automobile.
Uh-huh. Right.
And Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
Sweet.
That was one moment with two mistakes in it. Sweet.
Wow.
Kevin, goddammit.
Right?
We're talking about cars. Almost 4,000 babies named Bentley.
But that sort of seems like a name
that's
separate
like
from
Mercedes or Porsche.
Mercedes, 236. Yeah. What about Audi? 18 babies. Ford, 419 babies. Chevy, 176 babies. And then those 15 babies that are named Dodge. That's sad.
Step it up, parents.
And I feel bad.
Is Honda a Honda on there?
Honda isn't on here.
Okay, good.
Just because you're like a car doesn't mean that your baby needs to be named after a car.
It's very true.
Come on, people.
Mini Cooper? Is Mini Cooper on the list?
Oh, Mini Cooper's not.
No.
Some birthdays for you guys. George Lucas, Sofia Coppola, Robert Zemeckis. Wow. All on the same day.
Yeah, big director day.
Kate Blanchett, David Byrne, Mark Zuckerberg, Clay Matthews, and Amber Tamblyn. Happy birthday.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Why is your mom, Haroldine, so into The Bachelor and The Bachelorette franchises, Jensen?
I think she just connects with the romantic aspect of it. I think
it's not like she hate watches it or she watches it for irony. She loves.
No, she gets invested in the characters. Wow. She has her favorites. She has people she thinks shouldn't move on. She hates certain men or women on the show. She's very into it.
Now we can see why Jensen's got his issues.
Talking weird again.
I mean, your mom is a little older than the preferred demo for that show, isn't she?
I don't think so. I think most people who watch it are probably in that range.
Really?
I think older people do like the show because it doesn't stay on that long because of young viewers. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's regenerating with the new generation. They're not even watching TV. So I do think 50 to 60 would watch the show, yeah.
That seems pervy, though. if I'm watching The Bachelorette, it seems pervy at this point.
He's calling your mother a pervert.
He is. That just happened.
How dare you?
Haroldine did call in and leave us a very lengthy review of last night's Bachelorette. If you missed it, if you weren't up, then be sure to check out the Kevin Bean podcast on radio.com or iTunes or wherever you get yours, because you don't miss a moment, you miss a lot. Allie is here now with our final look at what's happening here on a Tuesday.
How's that rickety rocking chair you're in right now?
Are you hearing some noise?
Yes.
It sounds like you're like an old man drinking a julep outside your house.
You know, I ordinarily do replace my chair every year and a half or something like that. But I'm leaving. So,
okay.
Wow. Really?
I'm not buying any more furniture, you guys.
But you know, it's May.
Right. this one's going to last. It's going to last. You're just going to have to deal with it.
Sorry. Just oiling it up. Excellent. It's like, it'll be fine.
He's not oiling it up. That's the problem.
Yeah. Real sad news, you guys. About an hour ago, we found out that 5-time Emmy Award winner Tim Conway passed away at the age of 85.
Oh, no.
He's a legend. This man is just, he's one of the funniest human beings to walk the face of the earth. Where would you say he kind of started? Would it be McHale's Navy, Bean?
That's probably, yeah, that's how I first remember him, yeah.
And then Carol Burnett show, that was after, yeah. And
that was where he became a superstar, yeah.
Shot to fame on that. And then, of course, the Bob Newhart show. Just such a brilliant man. Just iconic when it comes to...
One of the great improvers of all time.
Absolutely. If you don't know his work, there is a video that I, quite frankly, watch a lot because...
Is it Dorf on Golf?
I do love Dorf on Golf. Don't even get me started. No, it is a scene from the Bob Newhart show where he was doing his interview show and he had a man come on who was going to be talking about a book.
Right.
And in typical fashion, he had not prepped for it the way he should have. If you Google Bob Newhart's interview nightmare and you don't cry with laughter multiple times throughout this, just when you think it can't get worse, it is some of the best
funny
television.
Worse or cringe worse?
Cringe, funny, both. Everything. It and his... the way he reacts to the guy he's interviewing is, he's just brilliant. But it's from the Bob Newhart Show. Just Google his interview nightmare. But again, very sad news. Bob Newhart has passed away at the age of 85.
Our sympathies to his family and to fellow broadcaster Tim Conway Jr., who does nights on KFI as well, who's also a very, very talented man.
Oh, very funny guy himself, for sure. Oh, hey, David Letterman's interview series, My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, is going to return to Netflix for its second season on May 31st. A difference this year, all six episodes of the new season will premiere at once.
Oh, good. Oh.
Season one, they were released monthly.
Yeah, and so, I didn't stick with it.
Yeah, because you were like, oh, wait.
What did you guys think of that show?
Look, it was hard to tune into an hour of Letterman and not laugh, because that's what we've always come to expect from Dave.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy a good sit-down interview, and I'm glad I watched it.
There were some good ones. I like the Jay-Z one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the, Tina Fey one. Mm-hmm.
But I feel a little bit like being in that we expect one thing from Letterman, and he doesn't give us any of that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's more...
And that's a little weird.
Yeah, it's conversations with people that he finds fascinating, and
which
he's not...
Fine.
Which is great.
But work in a little humor.
He's just not getting to, little quips that you're used to, but no lineup.
I mean,
Kevin
wanted to see Malala be thrown up against the wall, you know, with the sticky stuff. What's that called? The something. You know, the stuff. Stuff where Dave would throw himself on the wall and then he'd be stuck up there because it was sticky. You know, that stuff. And Malala being a Nobel Prize winning person is not who you'd expect in that situation. And then he was going to put her in a tank and ask, will she float? And then he didn't do any of that either because it's, no, please,
thank
no.
you.
Nope.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Sweet baby Jesus.
You know what I'm saying, though?
I actually don't.
You're looking for the word Velcro.
Velcro is what it's called. Yes, yeah. Velcro wall. Yes.
Great.
He didn't do... There was nothing like that happening on him.
That was pretty sweet. I like that.
The season two lineup has yet to be announced, but now I can't wait. Quite frankly. Really excited for that. This is a story that Bean sent me, and I don't understand how it's true. But in a recent interview on BBC Radio 2, Brian May from Queen said that Queen hasn't made any money from Bohemian Rhapsody.
What?
That movie has grossed $903 million internationally, surpassing 2015 Straight Outta Compton to become the highest grossing musical biopic of all time. Do I not know how movies work? When do they start seeing a couple bucks?
I really do feel like there's some funny math going on with a lot of movies.
That's
studios.
What that auditing thing is. It's basically like those stats back end is never, it's always weird.
Wow.
But I feel like Queen, having their life story made, should be getting a percentage of ticket one sold.
Well, they're just producers.
Agreed.
So they get paid out with producers.
Okay.
So,
still,
and most of that bookkeeping, that bookkeeping, that's usually fake and doctored.
Well, that's what I think.
Yeah.
So it's all shady? The entertainment business is shady?
You guys won't believe this. People in Hollywood lie a bunch.
Ooh. Maybe when it hits $1 billion, then they start paying out to the Queen guys.
Yeah, possibly.
Well.
But pennies, you know, not a lot.
Pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
You know how much they had to pay for, what's his name's teeth? Just the teeth alone to play Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. Those were...
Is Velcro the word you're looking for?
Yeah. Rami Malek is who I was thinking
of. That was pretty sweet.
Guys, Daniel Craig has suffered an ankle injury on the set of Bond 25, and they have suspended production temporarily. Apparently, Daniel Craig fell while sprinting during a scene in Jamaica. He was in a ton of pain, complaining about his ankle, so they're like, listen, we're putting you on a plane. You're going to see a specialist in the U.S., I'm sure they didn't do it like mean, but yeah. So he's holding up production for just a bit. It's unclear how long he might be sidelined, but the paper says a shoot in London scheduled for this weekend has been canceled already.
Wow.
Now, this is a man that had teeth knocked out during a stunt in Casino Royale. He injured himself on the set of Quantum of Solace and Spectre. Solace?
You
Why
know,
do I
was...
keep saying Solace?
Not sure.
Not sure.
I was thinking about this, and when you watch those movies, he sort of has to do a certain amount of those stunts. He's chasing people. He's jumping through windows.
I feel like he has to sprint, yeah, for sure. That makes sense.
Those dudes, like him and Tom Cruise and Russell Crowe, they do too many of their own stunts.
Maybe, but I think he has to do a lot of those. And if you hurt your ankle running, I mean, come on.
It's all computers.
I wish
Hollywood is liars.
Okay. I don't think it's all computers.
Why the f*** you lying? Why you always lying? Oh, my God. Stop f***ing lying.
I wish Russell Crowe got injured on Les Mis. Good God.
Right?
He didn't like his singing.
Oh, my God. Who's with me? Right?
Hey,
when you're part of George Clinton's band,
yes,
and he's constantly walking around offering up bumps of cocaine from his long fingernail,
hey,
and you are taking that cocaine, maybe you shouldn't be charged for it.
What?
The estate of one former member claims that the funk legend actually turned the bandmates into drug fiends. And it cost them tons of money as they sought help for addiction. The estate of George Bernie Worrell Jr. filed a lawsuit against Clinton, and his widow claims that George Clinton has a history of fraud, deceit, and delinquency when it comes to the performance of contracts that he had entered into on behalf of himself and his company. She also points to a recent documentary featuring other band members that accused George Clinton of providing them with drugs and then deducting the amount from their paychecks.
Whoa. Cooking wow. is cool. Makes you paint for the city.
Wow.
So, the estate suing for an unspecified amount of damages. But here's the thing. If I'm, like, on stage and we're getting all funky, and George Clinton's like, hey, here's my long fingernail with a bump, and I go, you're charging me for that, George? I thought you were being nice. I thought you were being cool.
Drugs aren't free.
We're all having a good time here. No?
No.
Cocaine!
All right.
Right. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you so much, sir. All right, some birthdays for you guys. We've got, from the Rams, Clay Matthews. Martin Garrix, the DJ, co-founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg. Some amazing directors, Robert Zemeckis, Sofia Coppola, and George Lucas. Actress Amber Tamblyn and Kate Blanchett. And quirky rock star, David Byrne. That's what it says here. Quirky rock star.
All right.
That's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellie. 5 p.m. commercial hour today. It's happening thanks to the random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers.
Commercial free, just to be clear.
What did I say?
Commercial hour.
Commercial hour. It's all commercials.
I think I did that to you.
Okay. I think it's the other way around.
Right. No, I know. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We told you last week about the dating site Beautiful People and how you get thrown out for any variety of reasons. We're going to talk tomorrow about deal breakers. What is it that you can't? However small, the smaller the better.
I think about these all the time.
Take about somebody.
All the time I think about
this. And like, you literally will not be in a couple with them because of this tiny little thing.
Yeah.
Also tomorrow morning, who would you like to see on the Iron Throne at the end of Game of Thrones?
Mm.
And we've got your tickets to the Game of Thrones live concert experience, plus tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roast, Luau, and Beach Party. If you'd like to go to krock.com for your chance to win VIP passes and a hotel stay, you can.